we don't know all the rules. What we do know is that when he, Jesus Christ, appears, he will be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We will be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Now we say that the saints see God. We're celebrating those things today. But where do the saints see God such that they are saints? It is traditional on All Saints Day, that's today, the Sunday following, to hear the gospel that provides us with all the attitudes. And today, the version of St. Luke's gospel. Blessed are you, more poor, blessed are you, meek, and so on. And the idea, I think, for having this meeting for All Saints Day is that this obviously applies to saints. But of course, as we heard at the beginning of the gospel, Jesus is talking about you and me just as much. That is, about his disciples. That's how the passage opens. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples when he said, "Blessed are the poor." This, that is what Jesus wants for us. Not just for his special saints that we were referring to. For the 12 But for those, as he puts it in John's gospel, for those who believe in him through their word. The Beatitudes then are a kind of prayer for us when Jesus lives. Blessed are all means happy, terrorists in the Greek. Happy are those who believe. I want to be happy, he says to us, in this world. And it's word that points to our final end as well, our perfect reconciliation with God. Blessed are those who hear the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates, that they need love. That's all we're doing, Bert, because Jesus also says in Luke, blessed are those who keep these words of God and do them. So Jesus' prayer for us today is that we do what he asks, such that it leads to our happiness and our blessings. We do what he asks, we follow him, we pray that we live with him, and then finally in doing and following and living, and we enter the gates, as it were, and dwell with God. This is our calling. They love our pastors. This is actually a difficult thing to take on. Because it means that Nathan, who is being baptized at the moment, and it means that you and I, each of us, is being called into weeping, poverty, loving, and forgiving our enemies. Blessed are those who weep. Blessed are those who bless their enemies. This is our calling. This is our doing. This is our living. This is how we come to see God. Now, what does this mean? My father is an elderly gentleman now. He's 92. And I hate to admit it, but he's nearing the end of his life. Over the past few years, I've heard him say to me on more than one occasion, he's hearing news about the police theories of Africa. He says things like, "I don't care. It just looks like we learned nothing. to separate parts one from another, and thus to rip apart the fabric of the home that it was built on being together in chaos. I know many people, young and old, weep for all kinds of things. And they yearn for a reconciliation in all kinds of ways, starting in their own lives, families,
they kill them, and they throw their bodies in the Lake Tanganyika, and they stop.
bodies. What happens to them? Where do they end up? I said this, and the reconciliation of real that is tied to such blessing, imminent, the unknown, the bad things, the hungry, the hurt. In the end, blessing is all about bodies and what you and I do with them and with our own. So Jesus says, he said to the disciples, you are the blessed are you and you follow me. Just as I am. So that if you can know, I know, and there I am. Where? Just as you sent me into the world, Jesus prays to his Father, to the gate, to the market, to the police station, to the place where all the clamoring is going on to run in and destroy, and we're all crying out for violence or for having been the subject of it. Just as you sent me, Father, there, so I send them. Where I am, may they be. And if they arrive, they will find. Part of being what Jesus' prayer was all about. Be where I am. I am like you, Jesus. I take you in. It's your privilege. It is a blessing. See me where I am. And if we don't get this, so much is being crazy about what he teaches. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are peacemakers, blessed are you who are hated for my sake, and blessed are enemies forever. It has no sense unless we realize that these kinds of teachings are first of all about Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the one who was rich and became poor for us, not counting with any something to do us. Jesus is the thirsty one. I thirsty. Jesus is the mean one upon whom the Lord laid the transgressions of Saul, and he did not lift up his voice. Jesus is the one who weeps for Jerusalem and for all of us. Jesus is the peacemaker. Jesus is the one who forgives the loss of those who have killed him. Forgive them, Father. You know not what they do. This is what the Father has set me into the world to do, placing my body with yours. You are my enemy. And for your sake and in doing so, I am one with you and one with the Father, and I reconcile all things to him who is the Lord. When we ask how it is that God reconciles the world in Christ, as Paul presented, what it meant for God, how it looked, how it felt, where he did, what he did, and where it stood, then we can begin to understand what it is that Jesus wants for us. This is blessedness, this is joy being brought back to our God. And Jesus wants justice, and that we ask where he stands. If God has placed his own body by the gate and in the breach for us, then we are blessed, and we bless God by following him. Blessing is being with him, with him. Now, I know not how many of all of us are in civil war. That was my point earlier. We are all somewhere where there is weeping. We are all somewhere where enemies exist and reconciliation has not come. Whether it's in our family, in our thank you. Place.